Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe we're already rolling into March. It's March 4th or 5th, depending on when you're listening to this show. If you're listening to it on Saturday, March 4th, that's at 9:05 a.m., and Sunday, March 5th, is at 7:05. I want to thank my guests for the last 2 weeks. We had Mackenzie, who is a great young leader. She is afflicted with juvenile arthritis and really leads the charge at the walk that we have in May at Northeast Delta Dental Stadium, and she's done a lot of great work to get the word out that arthritis actually affects more youth in New Hampshire than does juvenile diabetes. Both illnesses obviously challenging, but people obviously have heard of juvenile diabetes. They don't necessarily think of arthritis affecting youth, but it does, and Mackenzie was able to explain that. And then 2 weeks ago, I had Jack on from the New Hampshire Forest Society, and that's a nice segue into my guest this weekend, which is another great person that likes to recreate, that's his word, and that is the world-famous fitness coach at Northeast Delta Dental, Tom Walton, who's also a New Hampshire NHGI cross-country coach, coach of the year several times, famous coach in Concord circles in another life, as well as Pittsfield. So it's endless, Tom, but we're so blessed in New Hampshire, specifically in Concord, but also at Northeast Delta Dental to have your wellness leadership. So thank you for joining me on March 4th and 5th.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So it's March 4th and 5th. So you have upcoming different events. We have the Capital Area Race Series coming up, the first one being in Gilmington at the end of March, March 25th. You've done snowshoe races this winter. That's winding down. I've done the Winter Wild, running up and down mountains during the winter as well. So I think I wanted to start with the fact that even though once February hit, we had a pretty heavy winter in terms of snowfall. It was light until then, but there's still an opportunity, to exercise. And tell us why that's, if maybe even more important, during the winter when you kind of can get the winter blues.
I believe that in New Hampshire, winter tends to be a deterrent for a lot of people, but it doesn't have to be. It can be an opportunity, and what I have found is getting outside especially is important because there's nothing like the natural light. So snow opportunities and skiing is obvious, but something that we've discovered in the last few years is snowshoe running, which is excellent cross training for regular road racing.
And since we've mentioned the Capital Area Race Series, which really starts in less than a month on Saturday, March 25th, if you do the snowshoe, some snowshoe races during the winter, I've been told by runners that do a lot of snowshoeing that then the first time they do a race, in the early spring, they feel like light as a feather because you don't have the snowshoes on.
I think so. It's with snowshoe running, knee lift is definitely promoted. You have to do that so you don't trip over yourself, particularly in deeper fluffy snow. So, yeah, it would be analogous to throwing a shot put before a baseball.
So we have the CARS, which stands for Capital Area Race Series, and you and Perry Seagroves conceived that about 12 years ago. We have the financial support of Northeast Delta Dental. We have eight races. Each one has a race director. We have the Clarks for the Gilmington 5K, which I've already mentioned is March 25th. Then we have the SEA race. And then we have the Friday night NHGI Delta Dental race. So tell us again your thought process in developing it. It's seemingly a combination. If you're an elite runner and you want to take this very competitively, there's a very sophisticated scoring system, and it can be very, very, very competitive. But if you also want to use it as a opportunity to stay fit, you know, as a recreational opportunity, have fun, and some of the races have walking components. So how have you been able to bridge the gap on that?
Well, as Perry and I originally conceived this, it was the thought was that it was for every person, for every man, every woman, and for kids. So it was an invitation to get out and to recreate. It has since flourished, and I think a part of the reason for that is because we still have that sort of small feel about us. The races are anywhere between 200 and 400, as opposed to mega races that are happening like Cigna and so forth down in Manchester that are attracting 4,000 or 5,000. So the smallness of it, and because it's a series and it's around the capital area, it tends to attract the same person. So friends are made. And so it becomes very social as well.
As you say, it links participation, competition, health, fitness, camaraderie, and fun for all generations. Because one trend I've noticed is families are running more and more.
And we're definitely encouraging that. We're encouraging it by with our pricing. Also, we have a scholarship this year for kids who need it. They can get all of this information at the Capital Area Race Series website,
which is one word, runcarsnh.com, or you can contact our race coordinator, Joe Casper, who I just saw at a Wellness Coalition meeting, and obviously, he works with me, but Joe's email is jcasper, J-K-A-S-P-R, at anydelta.com, or you can call him at 223-1287, or you can register online at runcarsnh.com. There are 8 races, and I think that's another setup that you've done, Tom, which is really good, because we all have different family obligations, and when it starts blending into the summer, maybe some vacation. So there are 8 races, but you only need participate in 6 of the 8, which in my math is 75%. Is that the same as your math?
Don't ask me.
3 out of 4 to get the participation prize, courtesy of Runner's Alley. And but beyond that, your top 5 races go to the scoring. So even if you can only make 5 races, you could still, you know, win an age category. Our age categories are broken down into 5 years, and we also have the Clydesdale and Philly categories, and those are categories for human beings that will acknowledge their weight class, is the way you've put it recently. So that's pretty cool. And we have some great sponsors beyond Northeast Delta Dental. Of course, our newest partner is Runner's Alley, and we have silver sponsors, Grupponi and Performance Health. And generally, the Performance Health folks are at every race and help with post-race massage. So thank you, Tom, for continuing to lead that. Now, is your goal... we're in a different age category, so I can say this in a very genuine way. So is your goal to win your age category for cars this year, or age graded overall?
Yeah, I am actually very interested in the aging process and redefining aging. And so along those lines, I think, is being realistic and humble enough to recognize that as we get older, that one, just being in the game is wonderful enough, but age group competitiveness is just fine.
Agreed. And it's taken me almost 60 years to understand that as well. But and you know, you've heard me say this a lot, the few races that I'm allowed to say 30 seconds in front of the race, I always say, be glad that you're in the game, just like you said. Doesn't matter what your time is. You know, there are literally billions of people that either can't or, you know, won't run. And particularly as you get up there, we just had a show last weekend, you know, on arthritis. And there are some people that have a hard time walking, let alone, you know, running in a race. So I like your approach. Before we go to a commercial break, you're also a world-class paddler. So tell us about that. And this is, we'll have you on again before this takes place. But on Sunday, July 23rd, we have the World Run Paddle Biathlon Championship. So tell us about paddling in general, and then specifically what's going on on July 23rd.
My discipline, and there are several disciplines in paddling, including slalom and whitewater and so forth, but mine is around flat water. So the Merrimack River and Kentuckook Rivers are just perfect for what I do, which is basically try to paddle fast for longer periods of time. A nationals race, for example, would be last about 2 hours, about 13 miles. The longest race that I do is the World Marathon Championship. It's called the World, and that's the General Clinton out in Cooperstown, New York, which is the beginning of the Susquehanna, and that's 70 miles in one day. It's the longest single-day race there is. But more typically, a race will be anywhere from 5 to 10 miles. And it's great because it's so complementary to running. It's basically upper body, and there's very little impact, so it doesn't beat you up. So it's a wonderful compliment.
Now, I know when you were coming back from the last time you did the 70-miler, I mean, you are world-famous Superman. The stories are legion in terms of you running and running faster than high school football players with someone on your back. You know, some of those are apocryphal, some are real. But even you, when you came back, you admitted that doing that 70-miler was not an easy feat.
No, similar to another feat that you and I have shared.
Mount
Washington.
That's just a psychological thing with you, but we'll talk about that. So when we come back with Coach Tom Walton, we'll talk a little bit more about the specific event on July 23rd, and then we'll circle back to lessons on aging well. Tom Raffio, please stay tuned after commercial break. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio with the world famous Tom Walton this first weekend in March, March 4th and 5th, depending on when you're listening to this. And again, for my running friends, in a short time, we have the first race of the Capital Year Race Series, and that's Saturday, March 25th at 10 a.m. And the website is runcarsnh.com, or you can call Joe Casper at 223-1287. Tom, let's conclude paddling by talking about your event on July 23rd. Again, I'll have you on again before this takes place, but tell us, I know I've done that and it's really fun. There is definitely some people that show up that are really competitive. They come with their suits, wetsuits and stuff. And then there's others like me that want to do well, but aren't as serious as that. So tell us about
this,
that.
The World Run Paddle, first of all, the world, just like you say, world famous coach, is a bit tongue in cheek. And
but with you, I mean it though.
No, get out. Anyway, the World Run Paddle Biathlon Championship, this is the second year that we have it. And this is two disciplines. They happen to be my disciplines as well, running and paddling. So we combine the two. You can either do it individually, or as a team, and you can have a team of two or three, because you could have two paddlers, for example, and one runner. But the distances are very short, relatively short. It's a 4K on the trail and 4K on the water, and then a little portage at the end. But it's great fun.
And you need to describe portage for us.
Oh, portage is a carry. So you have to carry your boat across the line. And that's kind of exciting. Very, very good for the fans.
Or is it more or less dragging it, though?
Well, some will drag and others will not, depending on the quality of the boat. If it's a carbon fiber boat, you're not going to drag it. If it's a big, heavy clunker, then with a lot of glass on the bottom, there's no problem.
It is really fun having done this. I encourage everybody to do it. What's the date again, Tom?
The date is Sunday, July 23rd, and the race starts at 10, but you want to be there at least an hour early for a proper warm-up, as you and I both know. But again, this is very inclusive, purposely so. So it's aimed at young people and families, and we have classes for kids 12 and under. We have a generation gap class, which is you have to have a 30-year difference. So if you could find somebody age 30, for example, that's a generation gap difference to race with, that'd be great. But it's I'm thinking more about families. But there's also a family division where one must be you have to be related.
Yeah, I noticed that in the forum where some people were grouping up as families in an effort to win, and they really weren't related.
Well, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then married couples, and parenthetically, I have put who get along well enough to race together without turmoil. So married couples, family, generation gap, it's all about fun and participation, but multi-generational.
All right. So if you're interested in that, yeah, email twalton, one word, at nedelta.com, and Tom will be responsive to that. And you'll start seeing these forms everywhere. So I'm looking forward to that. So we were talking about aging gracefully. First time I ever heard that term, it was Howard Cosell. Now I'm dating myself talking about Johnny Carson, aging gracefully. But we're talking about lessons on aging well. And of course, we have a few example. We have a French cyclist at age 105. We have the gentleman that runs up Mount Washington, which you referenced, coming up in June. One of the more challenging athletic things that you and I have ever done. It's to me more challenging even than the Winter Wild Series, and because it's relentless, you're running up the auto road. So right after, once you finish the very beginning with a slight downhill, then it's a relentless uphill for 7.5 miles. And but we have George, who's in his mid-90s, running up it with his 70-year-old son. We got a kick out of that. And he had the crowd in stitches a couple of years ago when he said that his plan was to, you know, to continue to run the Mount Washington to age 100, and then when he crossed the finish line at age 100, he would drop dead. And then there's been at least one other famous marathoner in their 80s. So what's your take on, obviously not all of us are going to be running up Mount Washington in the 90s, but all of us can continue our health and continue our mobility. So what are some of the lessons that you've learned?
Well, I have long advocated reading a book called Younger Next Year by Crowley and Lodge, which Lodge is a doctor, he's a gerontologist, and he has completely formulated his practice around the hypotheses that modern aging has to be totally redefined, that it's not aging is not what we thought of when we were kids. Now, you and I, Tom, are both in our 60s, but I remember very clearly when my grandfather was about 62 or 63, he basically just sat down on his chair and started reading and preserving himself until he died. And that was my earliest recollection of what aging was. And we know now that it certainly doesn't have to be that and shouldn't be that. So one can look at these examples of the 105-year-old French cyclist Robert Marchand or Ed Whitlock or any of these guys. They are not necessarily an anomaly, and what that means is they're not unique. And a big part of it is attitude and not relenting, you know, not giving up or giving in. and thinking positively. I can do this. Why can't I do this? And testing limits. So anybody out there in the listening purview should consider not quitting because of age.
You know, you're right. I'm 60. My mother's 90, and she showed me a picture of the five generations: my sister, my sister's daughter, and then my mother's mother and my mother's grandmother. And she was even my mother made this observation that, you know, some of the, you know, people, you know, even when I was a kid, if someone was in their 50s and 60s, you know, they acted one way, whatever. My mother pointed out exactly what you said, which is that at 90, she still goes to, you know, exercise class, and she's trying to, you know, keep her mobility, and she's trying to still look good. So glad you're pushing, you know, that out there. And again, it doesn't mean you have to, you know, run up Mount Washington at age 97 like George, but I think, you know, I learned this the hard way when I tore my leg quad tendon 4 or 5 years ago, that mobility is really what you have. So it's great that you're pushing this. Let's segue a little bit. There are other recreational opportunities in New Hampshire, and we also have some great trail system. Tell us what, I know you work on so many projects, but specifically the Kentuckick River Access Group, or CRAG.
Yeah, this is my very, in fact, I'm leaving our time here, our radio spot here, to go to a meeting with a group that we're calling Kentuckick River Access Group. And what we are doing, this has been my initiative basically, get this started, is to increase access to the river to make it easier for everyone to use. And again, even the elderly or the handicapped or anybody, to make it so that they can access it without difficulty. The reason for this is because the river to me is so precious, and I want to share it. During paddling season, I'm out there every day, and I guess I could sort of selfishly think, well, you know, I'm going to keep it to myself, but I don't, because I know that as people learn what's out there on the river, that they will become stewards and protectors just like I have become.
Exactly. And that was the point as well that, you know, that Jack Savage made with the New Hampshire Forest Society. We, all of us, need to be stewards of the great trail system and the great environmental opportunities we have. And speaking of a trail system, we have some great trails in New Hampshire, not the least of which is the Mastyard State Forest Trail that my beautiful wife, her uncle Tom, has a house nearby there, so he now allows us to go in, and we can do the Mastyard race again. But tell us a little bit about the trail system in New Hampshire.
Not just in New Hampshire, but even within the capital area, we have a website, so you can Google it if you don't want to remember. Just Google Concord, New Hampshire Trails, and you'll see that we have
30 Ralph's Park, Kentuckick River.
Yeah, awesome. 31 of them are listed, and there are more. And these are beautiful trails. That this is such a precious resource. I think of the my favorite during the winter, especially, is over on Oak Hill, because I like to snowshoe, but there are some beautiful trails. Mastyard, you mentioned, but also up on Carter Hill, and you can go from Carter Hill down to the Swope, and you can go. Basically, I live on Broad Cove in Kentuckick. I can go from my backyard all the way down to Turkey River on trail, and they're very, very well maintained by volunteers, and beautiful bridges, and it's just, again, a wonderful opportunity.
So we're blessed that you're able to educate on recreating and really advising us, how lucky we are. We'll put the final word in for the Kapalua Race Series. It begins on Saturday, March 25th. Go on runcarsnh.com. That may be your slowest 5K of the year because you're going to be running up a hill. But the following week on April 1st, and this is not an April Fool's Day, you may have your fastest time because that's basically flat at the SEA 5K, although there are turns and then there's a series of other races, including our own NHGI Delta Dental race on Friday night, April 21st. We conclude with the Bill Lutie race on Saturday, July 15th, and then we have the world-famous Canterbury Woodchuck Classic on Saturday, July 29th, where you'll have your fastest split of the year. You'll be running downhill for a mile, and then you end uphill. So that's going to be a lot of fun, Tom. Thank you and Perry for leading that. Thank you for being the wellness coach at Northeast Delta Dental. Thanks for being a great human being, and thanks also for leading the young women and men at NHGI Cross Country.
Thank you, Tom.
Tom Raffio returns next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.